Broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This title given to the 11th Imam, Al-Askari, is because of a military camp.
Al-Kindi, he was a philosopher who lived during the time of Imam Hassan Al-Askari. When he gets there, he finds Imam moving towards a community who are anticipating him.
This is Dialogue, an introduction on the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Hassan al-Askari, alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue, and I'm your host, Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the early history of the Muslims, Imam Hassan al-Askari, alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. Imam Hassan ibn Ali al-Askari, alayhi salam, the father of the 12th divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, was the 11th Imam of the Infallible Imams from the Ahlul Bayt of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. The blessed and pious Imam carried the banner of Islam, undertook the goals of the religion, and sacrificed his life unto this way. He was indeed a fountainhead of knowledge and wisdom. He faced many incredible difficulties and tragedies and hardships in order to spread and promote and keep intact the high values and goals of the religion of Islam. Truly, there are so many countless favors that have been bestowed upon the Muslims by the divinely appointed Imams, the infallible and immaculate Imams, including Imam Hassan al-Askari, alayhi salam. Welcome back. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the 11th divinely appointed Imam, the 11th divinely appointed successor to the Holy Prophet, His Eminence Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam, of course, is this beautiful embodiment of the various teachings of the Holy Quran and the Sirah and the Sunnah and the manners and the behaviors and the ways of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. His Eminence, of course, when it comes to generosity and when it comes to courage, when it comes to bravery, when it comes to knowledge and wisdom, he was unsurpassed by any other in his era. Of course, a divinely appointed imam is a leader of humanity. It is a position, it is a status which is given by Allah. And of course, the responsibilities and duties are just as heavy and great for this individual who is the divinely appointed leader for humanity. And the purpose is to guide and save humanity and take humanity towards ultimate salvation. All things which are part of the mission of Imam al-Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So one time when talking about this knowledge of the unseen or this divine knowledge which these infallible and immaculate imams had, alayhim as-salam, peace and blessings upon them all, we find that Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari had once said to Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi as-salam, he says, "I complain to you about the distress of being imprisoned and the pains of being tied up." And so, of course, this was something that was quite common. The Abbasid governmental establishment and apparatus, whenever they were suspicious of one of the companions of Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, they would either imprison them or torture them or perhaps even kill them. And so it was a very suffocating environment to be in at that time. But despite it being a suffocating situation, a very dangerous situation, the Imam alayhi salam, as well as his deputies and representatives, they all continued to do their work. And so again here, Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari, he complains to Imam al-Askari about him being imprisoned at that time somehow. And so Imam al-Askari alayhi salam replies to him and says that you shall offer the Dhuhr noon prayers in your house today. And so what's really amazing is that on that same day, Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari, he was set free from the prison. And by the time he got home, it was time for the Dhuhr prayers, and he offered his Dhuhr prayers at his house. And so he was also in need, of course, because he was in prison. And so he wanted to ask Imam al-Askari alayhi salam for financial help, but he wasn't able to do that in the previous conversation dialogue that he had. But amazingly, when he arrived in his house, he found that there was 100 dinars there and a note that was written. And in the note, it said, "If you need something, do not feel shy or refrain from asking. Ask and you shall get what you like, inshallah." And so again, this idea of asking the Almighty Allah for what we need, He is always listening, He is always hearing. And in this case, even the Immaculate and Infallible Imam alayhi salam is also listening and is also willing to help us if only we reach out to Him. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now we invite you to listen to Sheikh Salim Yusuf Ali.
The Imam alayhi salam is one of the Imams who, relatively speaking, the lovers and followers of the Ahlul Bayt, they have less knowledge about him. Like, he's relatively unknown amongst most believers for various reasons. And so, inshallah, my hope is that tonight we can try to learn about some things about the Imam alayhi salam and some of the struggles that he faced, some of the background in terms of why, you know, he's somebody who is relatively unknown. And inshallah, in doing so, we hope that this is something which is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala and a means of us becoming closer to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Some of the points I'm going to be inshallah presenting tonight are from a book which has been translated into English called The Lives of the Twelve, a look at the social and political lives of the 12 infallible imams. This is one of those books which is well translated in English. It's well referenced. It's easy to read. And it goes through the lives of the 12 imams. And it's a series of four volumes in English. And so for those, sometimes I get questions from people that are saying, what can we read, right? Or what can we recommend to, like, let's say, high school students or university students that would be good for them? This is one of the books that I would say, you know, for university or even, like, let's say, high school students who are interested, you know, they might, and they want to have a better understanding of their heritage. Like, where do they come from? What's their identity? This is one of those books which is good. And it's a translation of the Farsi text that was written by the scholar Mahdi Peshwai, who is a well-known historian, you know, in the Hawza Almiya. So Imam Askari alayhi salam was only 22 years old when his father Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam was martyred. So he became the Imam at a relatively young age, and he was martyred when he was 28 years old. So basically, roughly speaking, he was the Imam of the Muslims for 6 years of his life. And all of them were when he was in his 20s.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
The Zionist regime is tightening its vise on civilians in both Gaza and in Lebanon, issuing new evacuation orders in both places. However, Lebanon's anti-terrorism movement, Hezbollah, is displaying stiff resistance in the face of Zionist terrorism, and for the past several days is showering Haifa and other places in the northern parts of the occupied Palestinian territories by steadily raining down missiles. The result has been blunting of Israeli bid to invade Lebanon. The enemy has at last realized that the axis of resistance is fully intentioned to speed up the collapse of the Israeli regime. In this regard, we take a look at the world media websites and news agencies. Please stay tuned for the second part of this article. The Electronic Intifada has covered this story and tells us more. The Zionist regime continues to attack schools and other facilities being used as shelter by displaced Palestinians throughout Gaza. At least 28 people were killed and more than 50 were injured in an Israeli attack on a school being used as a shelter in Deir al-Balah in central Gaza recently. While the Israeli regime has claimed to have targeted the Hamas command and control center, as it has claimed without evidence in countless other attacks on shelters for civilians its military has displaced, Witnesses told the media that there were two airstrikes and hit two rooms in the school where food aid was being distributed. Many mothers and children queuing up to receive food were killed and injured in this Israeli attack, according to Adel Khodr, a regional director for the United Nations Children's Agency, UNICEF. Adel Khodr said, two health workers belonging to a UNICEF partner organization were among those killed. Aid entering Gaza is at the lowest level in months, the United Nations Monitoring Office, OCHA, warned. People have run out of ways to cope, food systems have collapsed, and the risk of famine persists, according to the United Nations office. Meanwhile, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz reported that far-right and virulently anti-Palestinian ministers allied to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu are moving for the Israeli military to take responsibility for every stage of the aid distribution process in Gaza. Purchasing the aid, transporting it, securing it, and distributing it among Gaza's population. Meanwhile, in Lebanon, an Israeli air raid on a densely populated residential area in central Beirut killed at least 22 people recently, marking the third significant attack on the city of Beirut and the city center since 23rd of September. Among the dead was a family of eight, including three children, who have evacuated from the south of the country, according to a Reuters news agency report citing an unnamed security source. The United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, said in a situation report published recently that among the 2,110 people killed in Lebanon since October of 2023 through to 8th of October 2024, 127 were children, with around 70% of casualties occurring over the past 3 weeks. There have been more than 9,400 strikes in Lebanon over the past year, according to United Nations figures. The new school year has been postponed in Lebanon as more than half of all schools in the country are being used as shelters for displaced population. Around 40% of the 1.5 million children registered in Lebanon schools are currently displaced. Around 1.2 million people, or one-fifth of the country's population, have been internally displaced within Lebanon, according to the Save the Children. Recently, the Israeli regime military ordered the evacuation of 23 villages in southern Lebanon, instructing residents to move northwards of north of the Awali River. Between 23rd of September and 9th of October this year, more than 310,000 Syrians and nearly 110,000 Lebanese citizens fled Lebanon to neighboring Syria. The United Nations Office, OCHA, stated recently, Israeli airstrikes have not only intensified, but also expanded into previously unaffected areas and increasingly target critical civilian infrastructure. At least 12 facilities in Lebanon run by UNRWA, the United Nations Agency for Palestinian Refugees, are being used as shelters, and three Palestinian refugee camps have been affected by the airstrikes, according to UNICEF. UNICEF added that around 24,500 Palestinians have fled refugee camps because of the recent Israeli attacks. Meanwhile, 12 hospitals in the country have reportedly been damaged, and around one-third of all primary healthcare facilities in Lebanon have closed. More than 100 health workers and emergency personnel have been killed in Lebanon over the past year, according to the United Nations Human Rights Office. According to the UN Office, OCHA, hospitals in southern Lebanon are shutting down because of damage sustained in attacks and supply shortages, with at least three suspending operations entirely. According to Ghassan Abu Sitter, a British-Palestinian surgeon who worked in Gaza during the first weeks of the genocide and is currently in Lebanon, Ghassan Abu Sitter said, "We're witnessing a similar pattern to what was happening in Gaza, in that the Lebanese healthcare system is being targeted systematically. However, Lebanon's anti-terrorist movement Hezbollah is displaying stiff resistance in the face of Zionist terrorism, and for the past several days is showering Haifa and other areas of the occupied Palestinian territories, raining down missiles. The result has been blunting of Israeli bid to invade Lebanon. The enemy has now realized that the axis of resistance is fully intentioned to speed up the collapse of the Israeli regime. A new report by an independent United Nations Commission of Inquiry found on its investigation of attacks of four hospitals in Gaza that the Israeli military attacked these facilities in a similar manner, suggesting the existence of operational plans and procedures for attacking healthcare facilities. The United Nations Commission added, "Attacks on healthcare facilities are an intrinsic element of Israel's broader assault on Palestinians in Gaza, and the physical and demographic infrastructure of Gaza, as well as of efforts to expand the occupation. Attacks against healthcare facilities, directly resulting in the killing of civilians, including people receiving medical treatment or seeking shelter, constitute a violation of the Palestinians' right to life, according to the United Nations Commission. Such acts constitute the crime of extermination of humanity," the Commission added. The Commission also said attacks on medical facilities providing pediatric and neonatal care have led to incalculable suffering of children and patients, including newborn babies. The United Nations Commission added, "Israel has violated children's right to life, denied children access to basic health care, and deliberately inflicted conditions of life, resulting in the destruction of generations of Palestinian children and potentially the Palestinian people as a group."
Ocean of Dua. In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In today's program, we will listen to a commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
On that morn before the world was born, in the slowly world I hear that music near and far. Did we the cadence of divine music hear? Did we the cadence of
divine music? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the All Beneficent, the Ever Merciful. All praise belongs to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the best and the last of the prophets, Muhammad, and his pure and infallible progeny and household, especially his last successor, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. And may Allah's peace and blessings be upon you and with you, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is the Ocean of Dua, and I am Abdul Raza Bahrani. Insha'Allah, I will explain and interpret the passages and sentences of Ziyarat al-Yasin in this series of lectures. Now, let's listen to some passages of this Ziyarat.
The Ziyarat of al-Yasin.
السلام عليك حين تقوم السلام عليك حين تقعد السلام عليك حين تقرأ وتبين السلام عليك حين تصلي وتغنوت السلام عليك حين تركع وتسجد.
Peace be upon you whenever you rise to undertake the mission. Peace be upon you whenever you sit. Peace be upon you whenever you recite and elucidate. Peace be upon you whenever you offer prayer and supplicate. Peace be upon you whenever you genuflect and prostrate yourself for Allah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wal'an adahum ajma'in.
The next sentence of this ziyara is another salutation to Imam alayhi salam in two different conditions. The first one is when Imam alayhi salam is reciting, and the other one is when Imam is elucidating the interpretation. So this sentence of ziyara is Assalamu alayka hina taqra'u wa tubayyin. Salutations be upon you when you recite the Holy Quran and elucidate its interpretation. According to the rules of Arabic language, the word qara'a yaqra'u is a transitive verb, and in other words, when we say that Imam alayhi salam is reciting, the question that comes to mind is, what is Imam alayhi salam reciting? By the idea of some of these scholars, it is said that the Holy Quran is the subject matter of Imam alayhi salam's recitation. However, some other scholars, they have brought forth different possibilities and different things. They have said that there are some other possibilities here. For example, that Imam alayhi salam is reciting other books that he is given and he has at hand, like, for example, Mus'haf Fatima, Mus'haf Ali, Jami'a of Imam Ali alayhi salam, or the other books like Kitab al-Jafar and something else. So they say that it can also be possible that Imam alayhi salam is reciting the other things, but usually, and the best idea here is that Imam alayhi salam, when we use the word qira'ah is used for the Holy Quran, if there is not any other points, any other thing in the context which shows that this qira'ah is about the other things. It's about, for example, the dua supplications, or the book of Imam Amirul Mu'mineen, or the book of the lady Hazrat Fatima, may God's peace and blessings be upon both of them. So here we need a special reason to say that this qira'ah is about other things other than the Holy Quran. But the best is that this is about the Holy Quran, especially when we pay attention to the riwayat, and we know that Imam alayhi salam is a person who, more than every other person, emphasizes on the Holy Quran and has a special connection and communication with the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How to pray for the faraj or the relief? Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif to his second representative, Muhammad bin Uthman rahmatullahi alayhi, addressing the Shias, says, pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief. One who is disturbed, distressed, and heartbroken due to the separation from the Imam, the prayers of such a person, they have two effects. Either the Imam's arrival will be hastened, all the afflictions, the problems, and the distresses of the person praying for the relief of the Imam, they will be removed. As a result, he will be eased, he will be pleased, and will be comforted. In either cases, as Imam al-Asr ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif has said, وَأَكْثِرُ الدُّعَى لِتَعْجِيلِ الْفَرَجِ فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ فَرَجْكُمْ. Pray a lot for the relief, as indeed it is your relief.
Allahumma kun li waliyika hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا
The Ocean of Dua, Commentary of Ziyara al-Yasin by Sheikh Abdul Raza Bahrani, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, in the light of what we said, we can say that this sentence translation is, Peace be upon you, O Imam Mahdi, when you are reciting the book of Quran and when you are elucidating the verses of that book. Because as we have talked about before, Imam alayhi salam is the best interpreter and at the time the mere interpreter of the Holy Quran, because he has inherited the knowledge of interpretation of the Quran from his father and through his grandfathers to Imam, that it goes back to Imam Amirul Mu'minin, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, and then to the Holy Prophet, that the Holy Prophet has received the knowledge of the Holy Quran and the interpretation of the Holy Quran. And as Amirul Mu'minin says that, I was always with the Holy Prophet, and whenever a verse of the Holy Quran was revealed and sent down to the Prophet of Islam, I would have write it down. And if a verse of the Holy Quran was revealed to the Holy Prophet at a time that I was not present with the Holy Prophet, then whenever the Holy Prophet would come to me, he used to tell me that this and that verse of the Holy Quran was revealed when you were not present with me. That is the verse, and this is the interpretation of the verse. So the Holy Prophet of Islam was telling me about the verse of the Holy Quran. So I am the most knowledgeable person about the Holy Quran. I know where this verse and that verse has been revealed, in the city or out the city, Medina, Mecca, at night or in the during the day. So I have a complete knowledge of the Holy Quran. This is the saying of Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, we know that at the last days of the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Amirul Mu'minin says that the Holy Prophet was on my lap. And of course, even the others, they were witnessing such a thing, and it is narrated by some of the companions of the Holy Prophet who were present there. They say that the Holy Prophet was lying down and his head was on the lap of Amir al-Mu'minin because the Holy Prophet was really sick. And then the Holy Prophet whispered something to the ears of the Commander of the Faithful, and Then he was asked, His Eminence Imam Ali, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, was asked by the other companions who were present there later that what was that which the Holy Prophet was telling you at that time. And Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salatu wasalam said that indeed the Holy Prophet opened to me 1,000 doors of knowledge from each of which 1,000 other doors would open. So the Holy Prophet, and there are many narrations that it says that the Commander of the Faithful, and even we have a lot of narrations about the other Imams as well, that they are the inheritors of the knowledge of the Holy Prophet. And the same is Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his reappearance. So one of the things that the Holy that Imam Ali Salam does is to recite the Holy Quran and to interpret its verses. Inshallah, we continue this discussion in the next program. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
السلام عليك يا أمين الله في أرض.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mahdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner,
the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains. Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program's To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. So what a beautiful persona to be speaking about humbly at your service, the persona of the divinely appointed Imam, the divine successor to the Holy Prophet, His Eminence, the commander of the believers, Imam Ali, alayhi salam. One of the things that we find which is quite interesting and profound when it comes to the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, and is one of the things which we very clearly learn from His Eminence, is the amount of time and the situations and the conditions that Imam Ali, alayhi salam, would either speak up in those situations and conditions, or he would remain silent in those situations and those conditions. And so it's really interesting what you find during the time where the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household, was present. He was amongst the people. He was still alive. Very rarely do you find Imam Ali alayhi salam saying anything. Now, of course, this shows this reverential respect and love and understanding of the great status of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, that Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, had, you know, in his persona. And so he didn't speak out of place, right? He never tried to speak over the Holy Prophet. And so we find that in this era, mostly Imam Ali alayhi salam is silent. Of course, after the Khilafah was usurped by certain individuals, after the death of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam also had a relative period of silence. Now, of course, he voiced his right to the Khilafah amongst the people quite openly and publicly. But at the same time, we see that with the passing of time and when the people weren't listening to His Eminence and the people weren't paying attention to him, that he started to speak less. And it makes sense, because if people don't want to listen to what you have to say, you know, then why would His Eminence speak at that point in time? But during his Khilafah, we find that because he is the leader of the Muslims, he has been given the position of the Khilafah by the people unanimously with public support, then he does start to speak, and he speaks quite often in his sermons, in his sayings, you know, in his speeches, in his letters, both to friend and foe. And so here what we learn is that when we have certain knowledge that we should be humble, and while being humble, we should really think about when and where we should say or not say, you know, what we want to say. And so it's this whole idea about thinking before you speak, and be very careful how you speak and what you say. And, you know, of course, it's something that it takes practice and it takes time. You know, you can't expect to be able to, you know when to say what to say. But if you have a pure heart and you work on yourself spiritually, then, you know, you will find that the right words come out at the right time with some trust in the Almighty Allah. But again, you know, following the teachings of the first divinely appointed Imam, that we should be overall careful what we say and what we don't say. Sometimes not speaking up, such as for the oppressed people of the world, not speaking up is incorrect. It's wrong. It's a sin, especially in the present day. But, you know, sometimes speaking up out of line, that is also wrong. So, you know, think before you speak. A beautiful lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام وقيل له صف لنا العاقل فقال عليه السلام هو الذي يضع الشيء مواضعه فقيل فصف لنا الجاهل فقال قد فعلت.
It was said to Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, describe the wise to us. And he said, the wise is one who places things in their proper positions. Then he was asked, describe the ignorant to us. And he said, I have already done so.
We invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
And therefore, when we see these words there in Surah Ra'ad, وَمَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ الْكِتَابِ, referring to Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is not necessarily only the knowledge about the Qur'an. It means the special gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His chosen awliya, and of course the greatest among them is Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. It could very well refer to this ayat from Surah Waqia, fi kitabin maknoon, that this is the knowledge which is in the hidden treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yamassu illa al-mutahharun. Nobody has access to it but those who have been purified. It is not an issue of those who purify themselves by wuzu and ghusl. It says, لا يمسه إلا المطهرون. You know, people, nobody will have access to it except those who have been purified by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where you go to, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. Comparing these two statements from the story of Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, where Asif Barakhiyah is being, you know, described as مَنْ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ, and this ayat from Surah Ra'ad, where the application is Ali there, man indahu ilmul kitab, our sixth imam was asked about it. He said, how do you compare that ilm which was given to Asif Barakhiyah to the ilm which was given to Ali in the light of these two ayats? Means the companion actually recited these two ayats. And there the imam says that the knowledge which had been given to Asif Barakhiyah was like a drop on the wing of a fly, and the knowledge given to Ali is the sea and the ocean. Let us look at a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, we are seeking the help of a great muhaddith, Shaykh Saduq, in his kitab Kamalul Deen wa Tamamun Ni'mah, where he has a narration going back all the way to Salman Farsi, who says that the Prophet was talking to Fatima about Ali, describing the qualities of Ali. And it's a long hadith, just one part of it. وَعِلْمُهُ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّتِي. And one of the fazilat and virtue of Ali is his knowledge about the book of Allah and my sunnah. وَلَيْسَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يَعْلَمُ جَمِيعِ عِلْمِ غَيْرَ عَلِيٍّ. In my ummah, there is no one who knows all the knowledge of mine except Ali. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَّمَنِي عِلْمًا لَا يَعْلَمُهُ غَيْرِي. Allah has given the knowledge which nobody has. عَلَّمَ الْمَلَائِكَتُهُ وَرُسُلُهُ عِلْمًا. Allah even gave knowledge to the angels and to the messengers. فَكُلُّ مَا عَلَّمَهُ الْمَلَائِكَتُهُ وَرُسُلُهُ فَعَنَا أَعْلَمُهُ. All the knowledge which was given to the angels and the prophets all together, Rasulullah says, I have that. And then he says, وَأَمَرَنِي اللَّهُ أَنْ أُعَلِّمُهُ إِيَّاهُ. And Allah ordered me to teach all that to Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. فَلَيْسَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي يَعْلَمُ جَمِيعِ عِلْمِي وَفَهْمِي وَحِكْمَتِي غَيْرُهُ. So in the entire ummah, there is no one who knows all about the knowledge that I have, the understanding and wisdom that I have. And this is where I'll go back to the theme. Did Ali himself ever claim that or not? Again, we go to Sheikh Saduq in his Al-Amali.
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, To My Brother. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
In the limelight.
At least 4 Israeli soldiers have been killed and many dozens more have been injured in a Hezbollah drone strike on an Israeli military base south of Haifa. And UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres has condemned recent Israeli attacks on United Nations interim force in Lebanon, saying the attacks may constitute a war crime. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has carried out a drone strike on an Israeli military site, leaving 4 Israeli soldiers dead and dozens more injured. Hezbollah said on Sunday, 13th of October, it fired a squadron of attack drones on an Israeli training camp in northern occupied Palestinian territories. Israel's National Emergency Medical Service said at least 4 Israeli soldiers were killed and at least 61 others were injured in the drone strike on the military base for the Golani Brigade in Binyamina, south of Haifa. But independent media reports said more than 100 Israeli soldiers were injured in the attack. 7 of the injured Israeli soldiers are in a critical condition, according to reports. Trained for combat, the Golani Brigade is one of the 5 infantry brigades of the Israeli army. There have been other rocket and drone attacks on Israeli military sites. They include a rehabilitation and maintenance center south of Haifa that was targeted with a barrage of rockets and a logistics base in the occupied Golan Heights. The Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah also fought off Israeli soldiers by ambushing the outskirts of a town in southern Lebanon. The resistance fighters used a barrage of rockets and machine gun fire in the ambush, forcing Israeli soldiers to withdraw from the area. Hezbollah said in a statement that the fighters of the Islamic resistance targeted for the 5th time a gathering of Israeli enemy forces in the Manara settlement with a rocket barrage. The fighters of the Islamic resistance targeted a gathering of Israeli soldiers at the Hunin barrack with a barrage of rockets, Hezbollah said in its statement. The statement added, the fighters of the Islamic resistance targeted movements of the Zionist forces near the Fatima Gate in the town of Kfar Kila with artillery shells at 10 p.m. local time on Sunday, 13th of October. Hezbollah said its operations were conducted in support of Palestinians in Gaza and in defense of Lebanon. The Lebanese resistance movement said the operation was in response to Zionist attacks, including airstrikes in the central Beirut neighborhoods of Basta and Nuweiri that killed 22 people on Thursday, and in support of the Palestinians of the Gaza Strip. We continue with Press TV's coverage of this story. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres has condemned recent Israeli attacks on the United Nations interim forces in Lebanon that has left several UN peacekeepers injured. On Sunday, 13th of October, a spokesman for the United Nations chief quoted Antonio Guterres as saying that the Israeli attacks may constitute a war crime. UNIFIL personnel and its premises must never be targeted, Guterres spokesman Stefan Dujarric said, referring to the blue-helmeted international force. Attacks against UN peacekeepers are in breach of international law and may constitute a war crime. In a deeply worrying incident, the entrance door of a UN position was deliberately breached by the Israeli military armored vehicle. Guterres spokesman Stefan Dujarric added that UNIFIL personnel and its premises must never be targeted. UNIFIL said Israeli military had deliberately fired shots at its headquarters in the town of Naqoura in recent days. Stefan Dujarric urged all parties, including the Israeli military, to refrain from any action that put United Nations peacekeepers at risk. At least 5 UN peacekeepers have been wounded in recent days in southern Lebanon. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has called on Antonio Guterres to relocate peacekeepers from southern Lebanon. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres strongly condemned attacks on peacekeepers in southern Lebanon as a violation of international laws and a war crime. Earlier on Sunday, 40 countries contributing to the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Lebanon demanded an immediate halt to Israel's attacks on United Nations peacekeepers. The contributing nations reaffirmed their full support for UNIFIL's mission and activities, whose principal